Oh dear, ouch. Excellent, thank you, Neil, I think, for that. Isn't it difficult when you come in and they're cooking dinner for all the teams that are out in the community and all you can smell is all this gorgeous food cooking away? I am so hungry now. So I'm going to crack on with this so we can have buns and coffee and then they can get back and we can watch them eat their chilies and various Mexican food and things. Oh. So welcome everybody, great to be with you this morning. This is the next part in our normal series. It's our connecting to normal life. What is normal? Any answers? What is normal? Is Neil normal? Neil special. Is Paul normal?
No.
No. He's extra special. What is normal? It's a really fascinating question. What is normal? I have no idea what normal is. Am I normal yet? Yes or no? Put your hand up if you're... Who said no then so enthusiastically? Sure, my mother's back. She sat with Rosa. Anything might happen. Be afraid. I'm shamelessly going to do this. Hey, Mum, welcome back. Good to have you. I think I'm going to get ill. Everybody loves you when you're ill. I'm going to try that. Not yet. Am I normal yet? Yes or no? And the trouble is with asking that question, what is normal? What constitutes normal? Who decided what normal was? I once read a book years and years ago. Old people know about this book. A book called The Normal Christian Life. Flipping heck, Julie's not normal. We've established that one then. Julie says it's a brilliant book. Anybody else read that book, The Normal Christian Life?
Brilliant.
Put your hand up if you felt it was like, yeah, that's who I'm going to be, and it looked dead easy. Put your hand up if you read that book and thought, well, I'm never going to be normal then. It was such a deep, mega spiritual, this is what a normal Christian looks like. And that's how you've got to be when you're a normal Christian. And I just felt crushed. How can I ever be that person? This morning I want to look at what normal is. Maya Angelou said this. I have no idea what her faith position is, but I like what she said. If you are always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you can be. Because if we're always trying to be normal, I think that means we're always trying to fit in, we're always trying to be the same as all the other people around us. We can never know how amazing we're going to be because God has uniquely made us. God has uniquely purposed us. God has got a unique journey for us. So I don't want to be normal, which apparently I'm succeeding in. I don't want to be normal. I want to be God's. I want to be the person God has called me to be, and that's true for you. And so this morning I want to look at just being normal. I want to look at how good it is to be average, how good it is to just be blending in, how good it is to be non-significant in a massively significant, life-changing, eternal way. Because we can. We're going to discuss how we can talk to people, how we can just belong to Christ and be normal and have impact for him. It says this in John chapter 1, verse 37. I'm just going to check if I've put this on a slide. Oh, I have. Tiny slide. Okay, John chapter 1, verse 37. So this is a story that takes place. This is about a guy called Andrew, and Andrew's been one of John the Baptist's disciples. If you don't know who John the Baptist is, John the Baptist was a man that God sent to prepare the way for Jesus coming. And he was a bit wild and lived out in the desert, and he had some wild followers, and they kind of tagged along while he told people that it's time to repent and change their lives because somebody amazing was coming. The kids are going outside to play. Bye. Everybody look at the kids. They all feel uncomfortable. Or Sam feels totally comfortable being looked at. Wow, that means there are now no young people in the building. All our youth teams and youth folk are outside. And all our kids have gone. So, John the Baptist got followers. One of them was Andrew. And this is about two of his disciples. One in particular that becomes a disciple of Jesus. This is what it says. The two disciples heard him and went after Jesus. So that Andrew is one of them. Jesus looked over his shoulder and said to them, what are you after? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He replied, come along and see for yourself. They came and saw where he was living and ended up staying with him for the day. It was late afternoon when this happened. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John's witness and followed Jesus. The first thing he did after finding where Jesus lived was find his own brother, Simon, and telling him, "We found the Messiah." He immediately led him to Jesus. So this guy tags on. Jesus says, "You're following me." "Yeah, we want to know where you live." And not only do they want to know where he lives, they move in for the day. And as soon as he's worked out who Jesus is, he goes straight away and says to his brother, "I found the Messiah. I found Christ. I found the Saviour. I've got it worked. This is it." So welcome to this man called Andrew. He's just an ordinary bloke doing life. And he's one of those men that when he's introduced, the Bible actually says, and Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. The Bible itself goes, "Ooh, Simon Peter, the important one." And poor old Andrew just gets this, and this is the bloke that introduced him to Jesus. Andrew's the one who discovers Jesus first, but it's his brother that gets the fame. Anybody experienced that? Has anybody ever done that job and you've grafted and grafted and grafted? Somebody comes at the last minute and everybody goes, "Wow, well done, Neil." Has anybody ever experienced that? And you're thinking, "Hello, I was there. It was me. It was..." And then you have to do that Christian thing that says, "I'm not allowed to say it was me." Yeah, you have to be all humble. Andrew is one of those kind of guys. Andrew is one of those kind of people that he sets it all up. He sets the whole thing up and somebody else gets all the credit. He's just a bloke doing life. Andrew's one of those good guys. We don't read much about him in the Bible. Let me tell you what we read about him in the Bible. Andrew is mentioned 12 times in the Bible, and four of those, his name is just in a list with other people. Even in the history of the early church, most of the other disciples have all sorts of fanciful stories told about them, about what they did and what they went on to do after Jesus died and rose again and ascended to heaven. They tell all sorts of stories, but Andrew doesn't have any legends about him. He's just Andrew, the guy that introduced Simon Peter. And that's it. Whose phone laughed at me? Good timing. He's just a normal man. He's just living life. Getting by being normal. Does anybody identify with just trying to be normal? It's all right. It's not a shameful thing. Just rubbish at being normal. Yeah, most of us are. Doesn't matter that Andrew appears to be unimportant. He has a purpose in God. And that's what matters. The time he's mentioned the gospel, he's usually doing something incredibly important. Every time we meet Andrew, on the few occasions we meet him, do you know what he's doing? He's introducing somebody to Jesus. Every single time. This is the man he is. He just introduces people. He connects people. Let me just briefly explain what that is. For example, in John 12, verse 20, there are some Greeks who want to meet Jesus. They talk to Philip, who then turns to Andrew for advice. And together, both of them bring people to Jesus for the first time. John chapter 6, when Jesus is asking his disciples where they could buy food for the crowd, it's Andrew that brings the boy with his lunch of 5 loaves and fishes so that Jesus can feed 5,000 and open good news to all of those people. Is Andrew that had the foresight to do that? That's the kind of story we see Andrew doing. This ordinary guy doing ordinary things and yet somehow stepping out in faith. If Jesus was wanting to feed a lot of people and you couldn't afford to do it, would you be the one that gets a small boy with his sandwich box and brings him to Jesus? Andrew was an ordinary guy beginning to move in faith. I don't think he got faith in loaves and fishes or little boys, but he kind of knew Jesus has a habit of working things out. And that's remarkable. Now in John 1 we find Andrew doing the same. He brings his brother, Peter, to Jesus. But how does he do this? How does he do it? Well, this morning, it's about telling your story. Telling your story. How does Andrew bring people to Jesus? Simply by being who he is. And I want to have an experiment with this morning. Who's in for an experiment? Who would like to take... All right, everybody that put your hand up, you've just dropped yourself in it. And those that didn't... You're not excluded. Who would like to take part, to be a participant in this experiment this morning? Maybe we could do this. I want to show you the face of ordinary. when God has put purpose on it. If you're a Christian this morning, maybe one at a time, maybe you could do this amazing thing. Maybe you could stand up and tell us how long you've been a Christian. Would one person stand up and tell us how long you've been a Christian?
15 years,
thank you. Stay standing. Oh. 27, shout your name out as well. Claire, 27. Andrew, 15. John, 45. Julie, 45. Shout your name out as well.
A year.
And your name? Ian. Shout your names out.
Neil,
32.
Tom,
50. 33 and a half. 15. 52. Oh, my days. Paul, you look about 45. How can you be a Christian? 50? You were minus 6 years old when you got saved. Joe?
Joe, 35.
Wow.
Paul, 42.
42, yeah. 20? 26. 6.5 years? 40.
30.
Bob, 30. Anybody else? Got any last one or two?
Ian, 30.
Gemma, 2. Come on. Forty. Wow. Thank you. But you can take, well, actually, before you take your seats, just take a look around. Because these are what normal looks like. I'm just going to kneel and pray now. Oh, God. Take your seats, please. Do you see how different they all were? Can you begin to grasp how different they all were? And yet, and out in the community now, we've got a couple of dozen more people and the youth leaders and all that crowd and all our kids out there. There's a shed load of people, as many again are out there, fulfilling their normal before God. Fulfilling their normal. Because they're precious to God, you're precious to God, and God has chosen you. Not only do those people that stand up look physically different to one another, their normal is different to one another. But they're still chosen by God. How is it that a relatively quiet man like Andrew can bring so many people to Jesus? Because he knows who he is in Christ. He knows who he is in Christ. And each one of those people that stood up, I mean, can you imagine being a Christian for over 40 years? That's like not much longer than I've been alive. Like 40, 45 years. Somebody said 45. Tom said 50 years. 50 years he's been a Christian. If we've got Ruth in Sophia this morning, she'd probably say something like, I've been a Christian for like 92 years or something. And she's like 94 years old. So it's amazing that one person, one normal person, can be part of a story that led to those people standing up in Hope House Church in Barnsley this morning. Because he was just being normal. You know where it all began? When he caught hold of Jesus and thought, there's something about this guy. And the first thing he went and did was to tell his family. He said to his brother, I think I found the Messiah. I just want to give you a bit of an illustration. In 2002, a survey that involved interviews with 300,000 worshippers. This is a real survey. They interviewed 300,000 worshippers, people that regularly attended church, daily attended church. Wow, that's not normal. Regularly attended church. In 2,200 churches, they represented 8 different denominations, and they found that 3/4 of churchgoers reported they came to church the first time because someone invited them. Because somebody said, I've found Jesus is the Savior. That's an amazing statistic, isn't it? Get this statistic. Yet 54% of those surveyed said they had never invited someone to church. I was really horrified. Wow, that's a massive. 54% said they never invited somebody to church. Thankfully, there are lots of Andrews out there that every opportunity invite somebody and connect with somebody. And this is what our series is about, connecting with people. You know, it's not a case of telling us off. It's about us saying, wow, if an ordinary person like Andrew could begin a chain of events that led to us today in Barnsley. What chain of events could I cause if I just talked to my family, to my sister, to my brother, to my next door neighbour, to the guy in the corner shop? What could just happen tomorrow when we're up in the park? Yesterday, I want to give you a little story. So when we do Urban Impact, we do all sorts of work in the community. There is one job that nobody wants to do. There is a huge white wall. It's enormous. And it gets full of graffiti. And for years, we periodically decide to paint it with fairly rubbish painting equipment, for some reason, with rollers with one end on that you have to smear. And I drew, with a group of others, the wall. Okay, so we started to paint the wall. And you think, what am I doing here? Painting a white wall whiter. And then a guy came and joined us out of the community. Glenn. And he had a one-inch paintbrush. I'm not kidding. This wall's like 10, 12 metres long and 2 metres high, and he's like there with a 2-inch paintbrush. Mate, you're going to be a right long time here. But he grafted with us, and he filled in all the little daubs and all the little bits we'd missed and the little dimples. He did. And we just got to see, I was up one end of the wall listening to Joe talk to him about who we are and what we're doing. And we just had a chat to him afterwards, and he stayed behind and was chatting to Tim, who was out with the youth in the community today. And we're just chatting about who he is and where he is and his life story. As he told his life story, 2 or 3 of us told our story with Jesus. And it was fantastic. And he's going to come along tomorrow. He's going to bring his kids to the party in the park. How amazing is that? He's also offered to plug himself in and sing us some songs because he's a bit of a 60s pub artist. So I've just got this sneaky suspicion at some point tomorrow it's going to be very hard to say no to him. So I've got this feeling I'm going to get a bit of Tom Jones tomorrow. Get ready. How unusual. Because that's not normal. Indeed. See, a lot of Christians don't invite people to Jesus. We don't open up and explain Jesus. Not because we're bad, not because we're sinful. Just because we need more confidence. Because we just don't feel good enough. And we don't realise that our normal is all that Jesus wants. We don't have to be a superhero to do this. So why would Andrew do this while many of us Christians struggle? What can we learn to do that will be of help? The Holy Spirit, we're empowered to be his witnesses, absolutely. And that is the beginning of everything. We're empowered to be his witnesses by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it phenomenal when people in the congregation get it right? Good contribution is always welcome. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. In our ordinary lives. That's an amazing gift, isn't it? You know, we love the Holy Spirit to be in our lives so that we can sing great songs and do this and do that. But, you know, primarily so that we're empowered to be witnesses. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit within this body called the church. I want to tell you a little bit more. Andrew had discovered something that made him want more of Jesus. Part of the reason Andrew was able to share his story was because he believed he had found the Christ. He recognized Jesus for who he was. Recognized him for who he was. Andrew was one of the followers of John the Baptist, and one day John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And Andrew believed it, and he got hold of it. And wanted to share it. Andrew took John seriously. He left John and joined Jesus. The very first thing Andrew did after meeting was introduce his brother. And, well, Jesus was the Messiah everybody had been waiting for, and he wanted to share that. He was the Messiah that had been promised, and he wanted to share that. He was the one sent by God to change the lives of his people, and he wanted to share that. He wanted his brother to know it. This is because he worked out that the good news is good news. You understand that, don't you? It isn't religious or scary, it's good news. It isn't about turning and burning, it's about good news and living life abundantly. So often we think that the good news is bad news. We concentrate on, ooh, if you don't become a Christian. But what we need to tell first of all is the love of Christ, the love of God. When we become a Christians, we begin to live a new normal, a new life of abundance. That is our normal. That is our normal. See, God the Father does something astonishing with us. He gives us his Son. And then when his son returns to heaven, he doesn't just say, right, you're on your own now. He pours out his Holy Spirit on us, his comforter, his empowerer, to release us, to share good news. The good news and the church it connects us to isn't a chore. Anybody put your hand up here if you ever feel like church is a chore? It's true, isn't it? Has anybody ever been at home with their family and thought, my family is a chore? Why did you think this family was going to be any different then? It's family. Family can be a chore. But you know what? Isn't it a place of love and wonder and joy and special and blessing? And we're delighted to see Sarah here with us this morning. We love you and it's great to have you back in the family. Lord bless you. Sarah's been for all sorts of checkups this morning. We're glad to have her with us. Give her a round of applause and welcome her back. Yay. Normal people go home at that point and wait for the family to get back. And she has, she's come home. The good news is the church is connecting with Christ, but connecting to his people. And that is something worth celebrating. And we know it's a chore because it's a family. My own kids are a chore, but they're family and I still love them. What's more, they look at me and I know that they think I'm a chore and they put up with me. But you know what? It's the family that we've got, and this is the family God's given us. It's not that we don't love Jesus when we do church. It's just that sometimes we let it overwhelm us, the circumstances, the situation. We don't remember the eternal size of what we're connected to. When Jesus prays, your kingdom come. When Jesus says, he prays a prayer that he says, Lord, let them be in unity. Let them be one with you, just as you and me are one. Get all that. That's the size of it. Can these people like you and me, these normal people, be one with God the Father through Jesus Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit? That's the size of what we're into. And yet, here's the strange deal. We're in Barnsley. But how can that be true in Barnsley? You saw the people that stood up earlier. How can that possibly be true? Because you saw them stand up. But it is true. We know that Scripture tells us amazing things. It says in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's talking about people's spiritual hunger and thirst. That's an amazing truth, isn't it? It's good news. It says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. You know, no matter what happens to this, we've just entered eternity. Right now, at this moment, we've entered eternity with God. Whatever happens to this bit, you know what? God has something better and bigger. Yeah. We know this stuff and other stuff. Powerful blessings that we have as Christians. It's just that somehow we get safe. And we know the scriptures where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life. You know what's common in all those scriptures? It's talking about life the whole time. And we are good news carriers of life. We're living life in abundance. That's who we are. That's who we need to be. And yesterday, I've got to tell you, this is what I need to keep reminding myself. When is the Christian life the easiest? Spiritually. Not physically, spiritually. Yesterday, it was easy to be a Christian. Yesterday, it was easy to share good news with people. Yesterday, it was easy to say, this is who Jesus is. Yesterday, it was easy to say, this is Hope House Church. And do you know why? Because we were out there together in unity, doing something, serving, connecting. We were effectively feeding the 5,000. We were blessing. We were just being around. You know what we were doing? We were being salt and light. We were fulfilling the very normal purpose that God has placed on us as people, as Christians. And somehow in that setting, you're suddenly aware you're having a conversation. And not only having a conversation with a guy, you're having a conversation with a guy and you're aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit, empowering you to be a witness. Dropping on conversations, making comments that touch part of his heart. And that was true again and again. That's our normal. Tomorrow we get to do that all over again. Who's coming to the park tomorrow? 11 o'clock. Yay! It's going to be ace. And if you're not enticed by the prospect of sharing good news and being a Christian in the community, we're giving away hot dogs and burgers as well. Who's coming to the park tomorrow? Yay! Even more hands. Let me ask you this question as I begin to land some of this. You've worked out this is a dead simple sermon this morning. We're not going complex this morning. Just wanted to keep it light and simple. No deep theology this morning. Just the most important theology. You're loved by God and God wants you to share his love. So here's my illustration. If there was an amazing life-changing opportunity for your family and friends, imagine you'd got 10 members of your family and friendship group. How many of those people would you tell before you were satisfied and stopped telling the others? I've told Robert. I've told Julie. Not told Megan yet. My mum's got a clue. Sister doesn't know. My Uncle Albert's no idea. But I've told two or three. What if I leave it there? Is that a reasonable thing to do? A life-changing, mega, wonderful opportunity. What if I leave it to just Julie and Robert? Shall I do that? What do you reckon, Rob? Shall I tell Megan? Shall I tell Megan? Reluctantly, we can tell Megan. Yeah. If you'd got a life-changing opportunity, you'd tell people, wouldn't you? Let me put it this way. Your house is on fire. All your family have come over to stay. But you've got a couple of kids out. So you're, that's all right, isn't it? Well, I've got a couple of them out. Oh, I never thought I could have that fire alarm bell, couldn't I? God, never thought of that. Oops. Well, it's a smaller family now. It's brutal, isn't it? Church, we need to be people that share the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to be living it and living it to an abundance and sharing it and never satisfied, because the eternal consequences of our not sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, they last for eternity. So we need to be eternal carriers of good news, living it and excited by it. So if that last illustration made you cringe, that's not my fault, that's God's heart. Scripture. How long have you got? We've got to be people that share it, because we don't want the lost to be lost. Jesus Christ died on that cross for all mankind, for every one of them. We sang a song earlier that said for 8 billion people that he wanted to serve. And it's absolutely true. And we are given the privilege of being Andrews that get to just bring people to Jesus. Let's in our normal lives be passionate about bringing people to Jesus. Let's feel an urgency to share that good news. That's the primary reason you and I should be bringing people to Jesus, so that they can live good news lives before him, so they can be blessed and live lives of abundance, so they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and become the new normal, become the new them that Christ always intended them to be. That before they were even born and in their mother's womb, God had purpose for them. He had a call on their lives. He knew what they could be, and we get to be the people that share good news that open that door for them. Yeah. Let's be door openers. I don't want to avoid bad news, but I do want to bring good news. You know, the good news of Jesus Christ isn't a get out of hell free card. It's a get into relationship with God free card. And that's bigger. You understand that's bigger, don't you? Well, sometimes we're so afraid of what we could lose, we forget what we can gain. And we get to gain everything. See, Andrew and his brother and others, Andrew told his brother and others because he didn't know any better. He didn't know he wasn't supposed to tell people, because he didn't have a Bible college degree and he'd only just met Jesus. How dare he tell people about him? He didn't realize he needed to construct some complicated theological argument that would overwhelm people and so they could win every single argument about Jesus. He didn't realize that he needed to be a leader in the church before he was able to witness to other people. How many of you feel that way? Anybody got a theological degree? Put your hand up now. Blimey, two of us. There's only you and me allowed to witness. Three of us. Only three of us in this whole building allowed to personally witness to other people. No. Andrew was so excited by Jesus, he didn't care. He just wanted to share the love of Christ. Every one of you is qualified when you become a Christian. When Andrew approached his brother, he didn't get it tied up in theological jargon. He simply said, "We found him. We found him." Andrew brought his brother and others to Jesus because he was so excited about what he'd found. Church, we need to be excited about who we found in Jesus. We need to be excited. Can we have the band back up, please? didn't occur to him that he shouldn't do stuff like that. It didn't occur to him that he wasn't good enough. What it did occur to him was that Jesus is good enough and that Jesus was worth sharing. That's all that mattered. Now, here's the complicated bit. If you start sharing Jesus with people that you know, what's going to happen? You're going to be sharing Jesus with people that know that you've made mistakes. Does anybody here have friends that know that you've made mistakes? Has anybody here messed up publicly and made a fool of themselves? Has anybody here ever been a public hypocrite and been caught out? Has anybody ever just lived life in not a great way and been seen? Every one of us. But here's the deal. We're introducing people to Jesus and all that Jesus can do in our lives. We're actually saying, you know what, I need a Saviour. I need a Saviour because of all those things. And here's the Saviour, Jesus Christ. Here's the Saviour, Jesus Christ. He's rebuilding me, he's modelling me, he's discipling me, he's transforming me. That's what we've got. So this morning, as we begin to think about carrying Jesus in our lives, connecting to this new normal, I just want to encourage you that God has not finished with you yet. God has not finished with your normal yet. God still has a desire to pour his Spirit into you and enable you in your setting to be a normal Christian and to live Jesus. Andrew brings a young boy to Jesus with some bread and fish, and a whole crowd get to hear good news because of that. Seems a strange and silly thing to do, but when Jesus is so good, you believe he can do anything. You want to introduce people to him. So church, I'm going to ask that we stand this morning. As a church, we constantly aim to give us all a good news story. We're constantly trying to do things that give us something to talk about. So we don't want anybody here to ever just say, what did you do this weekend? Oh, we went to church. What did you do this weekend? We did Urban Impact. We did this in the community. We cleared driveways. We cleared back gardens. We decorated kitchens. We cleaned up a local park. We had a massive community barbecue. We listened to Tom Jones impersonators in the park. As a church, we aim to give you a story. We're a family that want to have a family story. And this morning, I believe every one of us can carry a family story. So that our Monday mornings and Tuesday mornings, our this afternoons when you go to Morrison's for your Sunday lunch, or whatever it is you're going to do after this, you get to have a story that says, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the things we did this week because of Jesus. It's normal. It's not religious. As a church, we've done this by going into cinema, by giving out flowers, all the stuff we do at Easter, by Christmas stuff, by the CVM stuff, by Urban Impact, by most of the amazing family called the Hope House Church that meet in this room and that go out into our community. Because Scripture says this, love one another as I have loved you, and all people will know that you're my disciples. Church, the most amazing thing we can do for this community is to love one another and let that love spill out and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Going to read you a little list as you stand. I want to ask you if you can close your eyes before God at the moment and just think about your life. Jesus went to thirsty individuals, to people that needed feeding. Jesus met Peter at the docks where his boat was. He met this Samaritan woman by the well. Matthew sat in his tax office. Lots of others Jesus met in their daily lives. And Andrew was one of them. Church, we know people who are part of daily life. We need to meet with them. So I'm just going to pray over us as a church that we would live normal life. And the band are going to lead us in a final song. Lord, I want to pray that we are like those people that can just say, here is Jesus. He's worth knowing. That we could talk to a woman sat by a well, that we could talk to a man in his tax office, we could talk to somebody by his boat, we could talk to somebody catching the bus, we could talk to somebody drinking coffee, we could talk to somebody cutting their grass or doing their shopping. We could just talk to people and say, I have met this man called Jesus. Lord, we pray that that would be our new normal. And that new normal would start in this room amongst this group of people. That it will be an infectious love for one another. That we would truly be your disciples. That all men might know who you are. And so, Lord, we crave your Holy Spirit. We long for your Holy Spirit to be poured out on us. We long to be empowered to be your witnesses. We long to carry good news, not in some weird way, not in some over-the-top way, but in a Jesus way that just connected with people. Lord, we describe you as Jesus, friend of sinners. Lord, I want to pray that Hope House will be known as Hope House, friend of sinners, just friends of people. Friends of people in Barnsley, whatever their community, whatever their background, whatever their history, whatever their experiences, that right here they'll meet a group of people that can say, we're your friends. And let me introduce you to Jesus Christ, who can give you a brand new normal life. Lord, we pray for new normal in this place, a new outpouring of your Spirit, a new contagion where we can't help speak in the name of Jesus. Lord, would you empower us and transform us? Would you unite us? Would you give us an overwhelming sense of family like never before, so that this town, this community can see light, can live its life abundantly before you? Bless us, we pray, as we stand before you now. In the name of Jesus.